الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله أمير المؤمنين the second Khalifa of the Muslims سيدنا عمر بن خطاب رضي الله عنه has narrated The dua is suspended between the skies and the earth, and nothing of it ascends until you recite salat upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu taala alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu taala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why, viewers of the channel, whenever you begin the dua, you begin by praising Allah and sending durood e pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see that this is the practice of our pious predecessors. Would they would send durood e pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the beginning and the end of the duas. Viewers of the channel, the first month of the Islamic year, Muharram, has a connection to many events. For example, in this month we hear about the incident that happened in Karbala. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was granted assistance this month. Fir'aun and his followers were destroyed in this month. The ark of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam came to rest on Mount Judi this month. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was freed from the belly of the whale. And the repentance of Sayyidina Adam al-Islam was accepted in this month. There are also connections to many other events. However, the first day of this month has a special link to the leader of the believers, the great Khalifa of the Muslims, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. And for it is the day that he radiallahu anhu was martyred. And because of this link today, inshallah, we will hear about the greatness, the humbleness, and the simplicity of the leader of the believers. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, first of all, we're going to give you a narration. And when you listen to the narration, inshallah, you'll understand the status, the humbleness, the humility that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu had. It is stated on page 169 of Fazan-e Farooq Azam that it is written that the leader of the believers, the lion of Allah, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, stated that once the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, requested in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, inform me what you saw in paradise on the night of Miraj. Allahu Akbar. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, O Umar bin Khattab, if I were to remain amongst you for as long as Prophet Nuh al-Islam remained amongst his people, I 1,000 years, and told you about the events and observations of paradise, they would still not end. Allahu Akbar. However, O Umar, as you have asked me to inform you of paradise, I will tell you something that I have not told anyone else apart from you. Allahu Akbar. And that is, in paradise, I saw a magnificent palace. Its threshold was beneath the land of paradise, and its upper part was in the midst of the throne of Allah. Allahu Akbar. He said, I asked Jibreel salatu wasalam, O Jibreel, do you know about this magnificent palace, whose threshold is beneath the land of paradise, and its upper part is in the midst of the throne of Allah? Jibreel salatu wasalam replied, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I do not know. I then asked, O Jibreel, the light of this palace is like the light of the sun on earth. At least tell me who will arrive in it and reside in therein. So Jibreel salatu wasalam replied, O Messenger of Allah, the one who will reside therein is the one who only speaks the truth and encourages speaking the truth. When someone speaks the truth before him, he does not get angry, and he will die upon the truth. I asked Jibreel, do you know his name? He replied, yes, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is only one person. I inquired, who is that one person? And he replied, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Upon hearing this, the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he became overcome with the emotion and fell unconscious on the ground. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrations mentions that after this occasion, we never saw the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, with cheerfulness on his face, to the extent that he departed from this world in this state. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, we come to know from this that the lead of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, he had a unique rank. Even the leader of the resplendent angels, Sayyidina Jibreel Islam, is seen praising his status. In addition to this, the lesson to be learned is that despite having heard his own praise, you know, being praised by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being praised by Sayyidina Jibreel Islam, the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, remained a personification of humbleness and humility for the rest of his life. Those present also witnessed that cheerfulness never appeared on his face again, to the extent that he passed away in that state. For the sake of the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, may we also be gifted with true humility and humbleness. Inshallah, we're going to give you another incident regarding his humbleness, his humility. It is stated that a non-Arab ambassador sent by the King of Rome arrived in Medina and began asking the people about the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. The people informed him, a short distance away from the city, you will find him resting in a garden of dates in the afternoon. In search of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, this non-Arab managed to find him and saw that he was fast asleep on the floor with his leather whip beneath his head. With the intention of killing him and fleeing, the non-Arab withdrew his sword from its sheath. But as soon as he advanced forward, he saw two lions with their mouths open that were about to attack him. Seeing this horrifying scene, he began to scream out in state of fear and worry. Now this obviously woke up Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, and he noticed that there was a non-Arab trembling in front of him with his unsheathed sword in his hand. And upon inquiring as to why he had screamed and why he was worried, the non-Arab truthfully related the whole incident. And at the end of the conversation, he became a Muslim by proclaiming the Shahada at the hands of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And the leader of the believers, when he came to know that this person had come to kill him, he treated him with kindness and he forgave his mistake. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madhi Channel, ponder for a moment. The companion of the Prophet, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, was a leader of the believers. He governed, when he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he governed 2.25 million square miles of land and was the commanding officer of an army consisting of thousands of soldiers. A multitude of people were his subordinates. Had he wished, he could have had made splendid palaces with all kinds of facilities, gathered the ornaments of the world, places with all sorts of facilities, beautiful orchards, beautiful gardens, beautiful furniture, beautiful beds, beautiful carpets, beautiful curtains. He could have had anything. Silk carpets, he could have had anything. But he chose not to. And his state was such that he would rest on the floor. This is the humbleness that he inside it. On the other hand, we have nothing in our possession, but we don't display the same humbleness. You know, imagine having the position, the opportunity to have whatever you want. He could have had whatever he wanted. He could have said, look, for the Amir al-Mu'mineen, that we need, the leader of the believers, we need a palace, we need this, and I need to have this and this. And all of the people would have said, yes, labbaik, no problem. But he didn't. But then we look at our state. How humble are we? We get a bit of power, we think that we're rich. All of a sudden, when we've got a little bit of status, we start controlling people. We've got a bit of power, we start controlling people. We've got a bit of education, we try to control people or show how clever we are. No longer are we humble. In the same way that once we get a bit of status, we become a manager, then we start looking down on people. And I was reading today that, you know what, you should never look down on people. If you want to look down on people, look down at the shoes and think that they've got good shoes. That's the only time you should look down on people. But unfortunately, we don't look down on people to think that they're not worthy of being in my presence because I've got this power, I've got this status, I've got this. Nobody had the status, nobody had the power, nobody had the authority that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. And it's because of this wealth and this fame that's affected us. If we have this fame, then we need to take extra precautions. Because the person that doesn't have wealth, doesn't have fame, doesn't have authority, he's not got this problem. But when you get it, then you need to have this extra precaution and make sure that you don't fall to, you know, arrogance, fall to showing off in people, this ostentation, which happens. You know, and we need to be wary of these things. We need to be wary of not being arrogant. We need to be wary of ostentation. And what is ostentation? Showing off. And that is a whole topic in itself. But it's things that we need to learn about. And if we look at the people of the past, we see how their humbleness was. We see how they never showed off to people. They never, even when they were meeting rich and powerful people, they would go to them in simple clothes. And this was their humbleness. This was their sincerity, that they did not care what people thought about them. They just cared about what the Prophet of Allah thought about them. They just cared about what Allah thought about them. And this is why they were successful, that they didn't have this mindset. In the first account that we mentioned early on, we heard that Sayyidina Jibreel al-Islam mentioned the virtues of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that he was a person who spoke the truth. He guides towards the truth and will depart this world on truth. Truly it was his excellence that only the truth would leave his tongue. This again is such a great quality of speaking the truth. Speaking the truth is something that we need to, you know, if I was to say to you, is lying bad? Everyone will say lying is bad. But do we speak the truth? You know, and sometimes we lie just for the sake of it. You know, people will ring us on our phone and they'll say, where are you? And you're at home, but you don't want to say that you're at home. Oh, I'm in Manchester, I'm in London, I'm busy, I'm this and that. Why are you lying? People come and knock on your door and you tell your children, tell them I'm not at home. You know, it's not a matter of life and death. But we'll get our children to lie for us, and then our children obviously learn how to lie. This is something again that we need to be wary of, that our pious predecessors, they never lied. They always spoke the truth and they always promoted the truth. And when you speak the truth, when you promote the truth, then your truth has a different effect on people. And today we see, with Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islami, when he speaks, you know, he may be saying something that I may have said 100 times, but when he says it, the impact that he has, when he says to someone, read your namaz 5 times a day, all of a sudden they start reading the namaz 5 times a day. The Mubaliks have been doing it for years, but it's had no impact. All of a sudden, Amir al-Sunnah speaks, and it happens. Because this is the impact that they have. This is the sign of the true pious people of the past, that when they spoke, people listened. We look at Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, that when he said to the robbers that, you know, my mother made me promise never to lie. The impact that that had on them. He didn't wave a magic wand on them, and he didn't sprinkle some dust on them, give them a special injection or anything like that. He spoke the truth, and the words that came from him had the impact on people. Nowadays we wonder why people don't listen to us. Because we've got a habit of showing arrogance. We've got a habit of being proud of ourselves. We've got a habit of lying. Then why will people listen to us? So this is where we need to look at the people of the past. Sayyidina Mujahid radiallahu ta'ala narrates that when Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq, would present his opinion, the Quran would be revealed in accordance with that. Allahu Akbar. The son of Sayyidina Umar al-Farooq, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, said that whenever different companions were consulted regarding a matter, and my father would also give his opinion, the Quran would descend in accordance to his opinion. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Manchana, when a person possesses so many qualities that completely reflect his personality, and the people laud him too, then such a person sometimes falls prey to deception of his own carnal self, therefore falling into the diseases of pride and self-admiration. So again, when you have this quality, when people think you're capable of two things, then people think you're good, and people think you're good, and then you start having this pride inside you, this self-admiration inside you. And again, that's something that we need to control. Just as Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal increases the honor of a slave due to his forbearance, and whoever adopts humility for the sake of Allah, Allah azza wa jal elevates him. Allah is the one that will elevate you. Not me, not you. Allah is the one that will elevate you. Sayyidina Sa'id bin Musayyib radiallahu ta'ala narrates that when Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, would go on a journey outside the city, when resting on the way, he would make a hump from soil, and he put a cloth on it, and then he would rest on it. He could have taken silk pillows with him, he could have taken anything with him. But what did he do? He made a lump of soil, put a piece of material, and that was his pillow. It is stated that Sayyidina Amr bin Rabi states that when Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala set off for Makkah in order to perform the Hajj, whenever he stopped, he never put up a tent or a screen. He would only place a cloth or a mat on a tree and sit in its shade. That was the humbleness that he had. He could have had a whole entourage with him. He could have had all these tents with him, these resting places with him. And he could have said, go ahead. You know, go 5 miles ahead, set up camp before I arrive there, so that when I arrive there, I can go straight into my tent. But no. You know, when he would rest, he would get off his horse, put something on the ground, a mat on the ground, and go to sleep there. Once Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu went to Sham, and Sayyidina Abu Abeda radiallahu anhu was accompanying him. They eventually reached a place where the water was up to the knees. It was that deep, the water was up to the knees, and he was riding his camel, so he dismounted it. He removed his leather socks and he placed them on his shoulders. He then took the camel's reins and entered the water. Upon this, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu exclaimed, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I do not like what you are doing. as the people raise eyebrows to you that you're the middle woman and you're going in this water, you've taken your socks off, you put them on your shoulder, the water's up to your knees. You shouldn't be doing this. Allahu Akbar. Listen to what Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu said. He said, alas, O Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, if someone other than you had said this, I would have made an example for them, for the Ummah. Do you not remember when we were a nation who possessed nothing and then Allah Azza wa Jal granted us our honor through Islam? If we try to attain honor through anything other than what Allah Azza wa Jal has granted us, Allah Azza wa Jal will disgrace us. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We can see how humble Sayyidina Umar Farooq, he was the Khalifa. This was despite the fact that he was the leader of the Muslims and the kingdom he had spanned over half the earth. But on the other hand, if a person attains a high position or position in today's day and age, he begins to consider himself superior to others. He begins to think that he's better than others. Again, look to these people, look to their humbleness, look to their lives. May we be sacrificed on the humbleness of Sayyidina Umar Farooq. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Sufyan bin Uyana radiallahu anhu narrates that Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, said that the most beloved person to me is the one who informs me of my shortcomings. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu was happy when people would come to him and say, you've made this mistake, you've made that mistake, you shouldn't be doing this. Do we have that inside us? That when people say you are wrong, can we take it? Can we listen to people when they say that we are wrong? Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq said, that person who rectifies me is my friend. And do we have this mindset? It was the habit of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu that alongside displaying humility, he would force his carnal self, his nafs, to show humbleness. Sayyidina Ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that one day Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu went out, and so I followed him until he entered the garden. There was only a wall between me and him. When I heard him addressing himself, he's addressing himself at the other side of the wall. He said, O Khalifa of the Muslims, by Allah continue to fear Allah. By Allah continue to fear Allah. By Allah continue to fear Allah. Otherwise he will certainly punish you. So he would admonish himself, he would tell himself off and say, fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. We are talking about, who are we talking about here? We are talking about Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, the person that during the lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was guaranteed paradise. The person that during the lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that he would have this splendid place in paradise. As I mentioned at the beginning, he was informed of this, that you will have this place in paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will enter paradise. But still, how did he live his life? And still he admonished himself. He would say, call to himself, he'd go to one side, go out and say to himself, fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. Otherwise Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish you. How many of us have that fear of Allah in our hearts? How many of us are scared of what we are doing? How people's feelings we are hurting? Are we scared of what impact we're having? What will happen to us on the Day of Judgment? Ever since Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu saw the Messenger of Allah eating bread made from non-sifted flour, he also stopped him eating bread made from sifted flour. Once his daughters presented to him a piece of bread and cold curry mixed with olives, and he said, two curries in a single dish? I will never eat it. At times he would break off pieces of dry shami bread with his teeth and eat it. And someone asked him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you wish, I can bring some soft food for you. He replied, are you aware of anyone amongst the Arabs who is more capable than me of having lavish food? Meaning, yeah, I was the ruler, I could have any food that I wished, but I want to eat this. You don't have to bring me that. If I wanted to, I could have had any food I want. Do you know of anybody amongst the Muslims who could eat whatever they want? I am the one that could eat whatever they want, but still I'm eating this. This is my desire. This is what I want. I want this simplicity. Sometimes it is said that dried pieces of meat would be boiled in water and given to him. And at times a small amount of fresh meat would be brought for him to eat. On occasion, whilst in a state of intense hunger, he would only find a single date to eat, which he would eat and then drink water. He would then place his hand on his stomach and say, there is a ruin for those whose stomach caused him to enter the hellfire. A delegation, he said, once came and saw that a dry piece of bread would be brought for Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu daily, and he would consume this with either ghee, olives or milk. This is the simplicity that Amir al-Mu'mineen had. It is said that he was sometimes seen walking towards the Eid Salah, the day of Eid. Yeah, when we all put our nice shoes on, our nice clothes on, and we got our fresh clothes on. He would be walking towards the Eid Gah barefooted. Allahu Akbar. And it stated that during his journey to Sham, When he arrived at an area called Ayla, due to the lengthy journey, his shirt had become torn from the back. So he handed over his shirt to the governor there to have it patched up. Now the governor got it patched up, but he also had a new similar shirt sewn, which he gifted to him. When he, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, saw the new shirt, he passed his hand over it, and proceeded to wear his old patched shirt. And he said to him that the shirt of mine absorbs more perspiration than the comparison to yours. It was just an excuse that I don't want, my shirt is better. Yeah, it can absorb more sweat, so I want my shirt. I don't want a new shirt. This is what the humbleness that he had. And it stated viewers of Manchand that there were times when four patches were seen between his shoulders on his shirt. A person saw three patches in the same place on his shirt, such that one patch had disintegrated, and so another patch was placed upon it. During his khilafat, he once delivered a khutbah, and someone observed that he had 12 patches on his lower garment. Another person saw him performing tawaf of the Kaaba, and he had 12 patches on his lower garment. Someone saw him praying salah, and he had many patches on his lower garment. And there were pieces of leather sewn in some places. During the famine, it is stated that there were 16 patches sewn on his garment. Allahu Akbar. We're not talking about a beggar here. We're not talking about a poor person here. We're talking about the leader of the believers, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. Like I said earlier, honey, the empire was 2.25 million square miles. He could have had anything, but he decided not to. He radiallahu anhu happened to arrive late for Jummah Salah once, but apologized to the people when he arrived and said, I was delayed because of this shirt of mine. I did not have any other shirt besides this. Because I only had this shirt and I was getting it ready to wear, I'm late because this is the only shirt that I had. Go into our homes, go into our bedrooms, open our cupboards, see how many clothes we've got, see how many shirts we've got, how many trousers we've got, how many jubbas we've got, how many salwar kameez we've got, how many coats we've got, how many all sorts of things that we've got. And yet we still go out and buy more. Because we've not got that color, we've not got that fashion, we've not got that thing. Now I'm not saying it's wrong. You know, don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to have all these clothes. Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, to show your shukr in the court of Allah that, you know, you wear nice clothes, there's nothing wrong in this. But again, we still need to remain humble. Wear as nice clothes as you want, but remain humble in our character. It is said that he would only purchase enough food that was necessary for himself and his family. During the summer, he would purchase one piece of clothing, and if it would rip, he would patch it up. He would continue to wear it for as long as possible, and then he would change it. Every year, he would purchase clothing that was of a lower quality than the previous year. Allahu Akbar. When someone spoke to him regarding this, he said, I take my expenses from the wealth of the Muslims, and this is sufficient for me. Allahu Akbar. Just like his food and clothing, the expenses of a middle mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, were very few. He never spent lavishly according to his position and status. Rather, his expenditure for himself and his family were basically the bare minimum. Someone narrated that a middle mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, would spend only 2 dirhams daily on himself and his family. A person mentions that he went on Hajj and only spent 180 dirhams. Now, I don't know how much that is, but we understand that it must have been a very small amount for this to be recorded and passed down during the generations. If there was a need, he would borrow money from the treasury. Sometimes the treasury would come to him and ask for the money. So he would take the money he had borrowed and go to the treasury. And at times he would repay the debt after he'd received his own stipend. The simplicity of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq, was great indeed. By acting upon as much practice as we can today, we can attain the blessings of following Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. We need to try and make a change in our lives. Try and follow how he lived his life. Try and have that simplicity inside us. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq, also possessed many other virtues. Which qualities there that is not found in him? You can see so many qualities, and we're going to just list some of the qualities about him. The reason for listing these qualities that we need to realize that we are fortunate that we have these role models. We have these great personalities behind them. And I keep on mentioning this, that we need to learn about these people, learn how they live their lives, look up to them as role models and try to follow them. It is stated, he exemplified fear of Allah and was a true worshipper. Do we have any fear of Allah inside us? He displayed piety throughout his life. His eyes would often remain moist out of the fear of Allah. He would encourage others to adopt piety. The one who would stay in his company would also become pious. He would listen to others about things that instill the fear of Allah into their hearts. He would ask children to pray for his forgiveness. How many of us do that? He would always remain in the fear of Allah's hidden plan. He was an embodiment of humility. He carried out many works for the elevation of the religion. His reign as a Khalifa is considered as one of the best periods of Islam, which was a time of religiosity and justice. He was a lamp of knowledge and wisdom. He was the pride of Islam. He was an unforgettable individual who brought about a new era in Islam. In short, viewers of the channel, the specialities and services of Amir al-Mumineen Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala are abundant. And we need to learn about his life. There's a book that's been published by Maktabat al-Madina called Fazane Farooq Azam. And this great book is published in two volumes. Two volumes. Either purchase this book or download this book. And inshallah, by downloading this book, inshallah, and reading this book, then you'll become more aware of this great personality. It is stated that Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrates that his noble father, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, would wake up at night in order to offer salah. And when the last part of the night would arrive, he would awaken his whole family members and tell them to offer the salah. Then he would recite this verse. He would recite this verse, Surah Taha, verse 132. And I give you the translation. And command your family to establish salah and be steadfast in yourself. We do not ask for any sustenance for you at all. Rather, we will provide you sustenance. And the excellent result is the people of piety. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he would wake up his family to offer the Fajr Salah. You may have heard of the Pious Deeds booklet that Amir al-Sunnah has given us. And in that Pious Deeds booklet, in the Amir al-Sunnah encourages to wake people up for Fajr. So in memory of the great Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, start waking yourself up for Fajr and wake up your family members for Fajr as well, inshallah. And that day will come where they will wake you up and you will wake each other up. So try and make a habit of waking up your family for Fajr at least. If not, your colleagues, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, phone them up, wake them up for Fajr, pick them up, go to the masjid together, inshallah, you'll reap the rewards. One aspect of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq's excellence, is that he is from the fortunate companions whose virtues have actually been mentioned by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, there were many companions, but certain companions, they were mentioned, they were praised. Individually, they were praised by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And we heard at the beginning that incident where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the event that took place on the night of Miraj. There are many other instances where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has praised him. In one such hadith, it stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself granted him knowledge. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the strength of his khilafat. Shaitan would change his path after seeing Amir al-Mu'mineen. Despite not being a prophet, his speech was similar to that of the prophets. The noble prophets made dua for him to accept Islam. When he accepted Islam, even the inhabitants of the heavens rejoiced. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and listen to this, if there was a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. But we know that there is no prophet after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger, the seal of the prophethood. But he said, if there was, it would have then been this individual. He also said, after me, the truth will accompany Umar wherever he will go. Love for Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu is a guarantor of one's faith, he said. He was granted the glad tidings of paradise from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even Shaitan feared Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. This is the great status and quality and attributes that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu had. And what we need to do is we need to look at the people of the past. Look at their qualities, look at the attributes, look at how they live their life. You know, nowadays we make the claim that we are true lovers. You know, we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say it. Prove it. How are you going to prove it? Look at them. Look at how they live their life. Look at the pious predecessors. Look at how they reacted in front of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at how they spread the deen of Islam. Look at the sacrifices they made. Look at the things that they did for the pleasure of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at their fear of Allah. Look at their love of the Sunnah. Look at their love of the Prophet. And then ask yourself, am I a true lover? So viewers of the channel, I pray to Allah that we are encouraged to find out about the lives of our pious predecessors, that we find out about their qualities, find out about their attributes, and try and attain some of the status that they have so that we can follow in their footsteps. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I have said anything on me, Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I said, to act upon what I said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.